But what we're about to look at is very, very important. And I would just ask that, I know, and I'm so thankful we have so many kids in the room, but I would just ask that we do our best as we honor the Lord's table, that maybe your kids could stay with you at this point. And this isn't, they don't need to run out to the washroom unless it's an emergency, if at all possible during this time. And I'm going to explain what this is as well a little bit as we go through this. We ask that if you have been saved, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you've been scripturally baptized by immersion, which is the only kind of baptism in the Bible, that you can partake if you choose with us. If you don't know if that's you, then it would be best for you just to pass the plate to the next person beside you. And it doesn't mean that you've done something wrong. We have visitors here today. We have people that maybe have never been in a service where this is done. But it is a very beautiful thing that we are picturing here from God's Word. I've asked you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, because this is where we see the the beginning of Jesus being crucified. Verse 47. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, I've always been captivated by this next word, friend. He's calling the man who is betraying him his friend. And yet we have a hard time many times getting along with another brother and sister in Christ. And he called him a friend. Wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Let's skip down to verse 455. In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, verse 56. That the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. I've underlined this next phrase in my Bible. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. The hour of Jesus' life when his true purpose for living was coming to its time. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, came with one goal in mind, Calvary. It wasn't the miracles. It wasn't all the crowds. It was Calvary. And all the disciples forsook him and fled. Turn over to chapter 27, please. Verse 26, Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. Let's, as we read this today, as I read this and you read it, please read it with intent. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. This is our Savior. And they spit upon him, it says. And took the reed and smote him. And took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him. And led him away to crucify him. Verse 33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Verse 35, and they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. What a scene. And set up over his head this accusation, his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land. This would have been about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Or maybe a little bit earlier. So it wasn't supposed to be dark at that time. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The first element that we look at in the Lord's table is the bread. The bread that we're going to pass out in a few minutes is a picture. It's a picture of what we just read about. The broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that body was broken for you and it was broken for me. By the way, it was broken for Judas. It was broken for everyone that denies him. It was broken for whoever you think today is the most wicked person alive. I don't know who that is. Doesn't really matter. Jesus allowed the crucifixion to go forward so that we would have an opportunity to be his child. So that we would not just have to spend 1 second in hell. Chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. We are so thankful today as believers that our Savior went to the cross, fulfilling the will of his Father. He gave up the ghost. Nobody took his life from him. It's very important. He gave his life that we might have life. I'm on my way to heaven today, not because I'm a good man or a pastor. I'm on my way to heaven today because the Son of God gave his life that I might have eternal life. And if you're not on your way to heaven today, you're not going to get to heaven any other way than by believing and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ who laid down his life for you. And by the way, you're not believing in a dead man. For we see here in chapter number 28 and in verse number 6, the angel says to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, "He is not here." If you're seeking the body of Jesus, you're looking in the wrong place. You're not going to find it. For he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. Two times, verse 6 and verse 7, circle those words. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And on we can read about all of the different people that would see the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrected body. Friends, the end of the Lord Jesus was not at Calvary. 3 days and three nights later, up from the grave, he arose. And I'm here today to say that we have a risen Savior. We have a God who loves us very much. We have a God who is preparing a place in heaven for those who have believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Quickly turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. We find a little bit more information about this Lord's table. There are two ordinances that the Lord left for the local church. God willing, before we're done today, we will observe both of those ordinances. This is one of them, the Lord's Supper. The other one is baptism. And both of them picture the very same thing. We will, God willing, be baptizing today after this service. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 23, we get a little bit more instruction about the Lord's table. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So what we just read about, we didn't read all of go back far enough because of time, but the Lord Jesus had a Lord's Supper, if you will, with his disciples prior to his being crucified. And then that was passed on, as we see here, it's passed on to you and to me in the local church to continue. Let's keep reading. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, that's the bread from the last word of verse 23. We're getting our instructions for the Lord's table, not from some book at the library, but from the Bible. We didn't come up with this. We didn't sit down and write this up. This is from God's word, okay? He took bread and brake it. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. So there's the bread and then the cup. We talked about the bread is the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now why are we doing this? Verse 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We are proclaiming right here in front of everyone today, we are proclaiming the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The shed blood. You see, that blood was very important. That blood was perfect blood. Sinless blood. No man ever walked the face of the earth like the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the only one that took on the body of a man and was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So he was able, because he was the Son of God, he was able to go to the cross and pay the penalty for your sin and mine, as well as everyone who's ever been born or will be born. You think about the magnitude. You think about the magnitude of that. You think about the weight that was put on him. It's no wonder that God turned his back on his son and Jesus uttered those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He could not look on his son when sin was placed on his son because God is holy. And yet, he endured all of that so that you and I could have the privilege someday to take our last breath on this earth and our next breath be in heaven. We said, see you later to Mrs. Miksha this week. 3 a.m. Thursday morning. She took her last breath. And her first breath after that was in heaven. Because she knew the Lord. She had a testimony of the Lord in her. Oh, that's so precious, isn't it? She didn't get that by coming to church. She didn't get that by being a good lady. She didn't get that by being a godly wife or mother. She got that by what's pictured here today. The death of the Lord Jesus, the burial of the Lord Jesus, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, Mrs. Miksha, many years ago, applied that blood to her account. And she was made whole. She was made clean. How about you today? You know, there's no telling when your heart's going to stop beating. Could be tonight. Could be tomorrow. Could be 20 years from now. But when your heart stops beating, nothing will matter on this world of how much money you had, how much education you had, how much whatever. Only one thing will matter. What did you do with Jesus? What did you do with what this represents? You know, I can't think of a better decision to make on March 17th, 2019, than to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you have never done that, please do not walk out of this building without letting one of us know. Pastor Ben, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need to be saved today. You don't have to wait till an invitation to do that, by the way. So today, as a church family, we celebrate. We celebrate. This is a celebration. This is not bad news. This is good news. What we're talking about here, what we're celebrating here in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God's blessing on our time. As I'm doing that, I'd like you to quickly look down at verse 28. I don't want to overlook this. Verses 27 and 28, if you haven't closed your Bible yet. 1 Corinthians 11. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know what this tells me? This tells me that this is a very sacred thing as well. It's a time of celebration, but it's not a joking time. It's a very sacred time. So I say this almost every time, something to this effect. If you're not sure that you should be taking the Lord's table today, please just pass the plate. Say, what do you mean? I shouldn't be taking it? If there's something between you and the Lord right now, no, you should not be taking it. Unless you're going to get it dealt with right now. That's what he says here. Let a man examine himself. Don't take the cup, don't take the bread unworthily. We're going to have a moment, go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Just have it as quiet as possible, and then I'll pray. This is our time to examine ourselves before we distribute the bread.